Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Big Ten Sports Illustrated writer Dustin Schutte. Dustin, how are we doing post first round of the college football playoffs?
Well, we're doing all right, Jim. Little irritated by some things, but all in all, can't complain. So I'm sure that there's some good spirits in University Park, State College, Happy Valley, after a sizable win over SMU last week.
There's still some good feelings coming from that, Dustin. It was a fun environment. It was there was some concerns leading up to the game. I'm not sure how much you're aware. Here in Pennsylvania, Penn State was having their graduation that weekend, which put a real strain on hotel rooms, which is normally the case anyway. But adding to it, they were just gouging. And obviously, the weather was going to be cold, the holiday coming up. There was a thought that the crowd would come up short. They did not. 106,000, not quite a sellout, but 106,000. And they really gave it a whiteout type feeling to it, Dustin. So a lot of energy in State College, just like there was at every venue for the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that was the really positive takeaway was, I think in the past we've talked about getting some of these games on campus and what the atmosphere might be like. I think all of them delivered. All of them, you looked at Indiana Notre Dame on that Friday night. That was a full stadium, a really good atmosphere. Then you watched Penn State, even though it was a noon kickoff, that had a really good showing. And then Ohio State at night, Texas, Clemson, like they were all really well attended. And that's hard to do, Jim, because now we're at a time where you could, what would be the math on this? Potentially paying for four postseason games if your team goes from the first round all the way to the championship. So it's a cool way for those close that maybe can't afford a full trip to be able to go to a playoff game and experience that atmosphere. So it was a really fun first round and unique look into what we're going to see from this 12-team playoff moving forward.
And you mentioned at the top there were some things that irritated you. So I want you to know, Salty Schutte is always welcome on this show. And I got a feeling I know where you're going. And I want to guide you right down that path, Dustin, because I think it's exactly what upset me last week, too, with the coverage of these games. You wrote an article essentially saying ESPN should be embarrassed by their coverage. Why don't you kind of expand on that for our listeners?
Well, it started, I mean, some of this stuff started when you talked about the selection of the teams, right? Like you go back and people were complaining about Alabama, three-loss Alabama, three-loss Ole Miss should be in over SMU, who played in their conference championship game, Indiana, who finished the season 11-1. And so that was just kind of irritating, but you thought it was just maybe a little bit of devil's advocate banter. Let's fill up these 6 hours of our selection show with content. It was almost It was unwatchable on Friday night to hear Sean McDonough of ESPN talk about how Indiana didn't deserve a spot, how the Big Ten was considered quote unquote the best conference, but he doesn't know what that's based off of. It trickled then into Saturday when Penn State blew out SMU, and did SMU truly belong? And then what was really aggravating was you go into Saturday night when Tennessee played Ohio State. Tennessee may have looked like the second worst team in the field, just got obliterated by Ohio State, 42-17. Not a peep. They just go back to Indiana and SMU. Tennessee actually did something to belong here. Blah, 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 blah. And it was just this narrative. It felt like corporate lines. It felt like the company line. Like we have to grandstand for the SEC, the poor SEC, which never gets any teams into the field, Jim. I can't remember the time when when they've ever got the benefit of the doubt. And it was just so frustrating because to me, like, I don't want to watch another college football game when those guys are commentating. And I think the real problem is now Paul Feinbaum jumped in on this too and said, yeah, I know Tennessee got beat worse than anybody, but they actually did something to deserve a spot. Like, we know he's going to be a clown, right? Like, we know that he's going to make dumb comments to back the SEC. That's been his shtick for the beginning of time, since the beginning of time. But to hear McDonough, who is a respected national broadcaster, and Kirk Herbstreit, who's been on College Game Day and has been like the advocate for college football and the voice of reason for so many years, I think he's losing a lot more respect. You go back to last year when he was backing the committee for leaving Florida State out of the field, even though they went undefeated, won their championship. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's getting harder and harder to watch. So I have to watch the games on mute now because it just infuriates me to listen to these people complain nonstop about how the SEC should have got 5 or 6 teams in and the Big Ten basically did nothing to deserve 4 teams.
You know, Dustin, now for Salty Shooty, you were under control. I give you credit for that. Okay. Now it's my turn to blast them. First of all, trying to be under control, there are things where you could understand a difference of opinion. And when you're making selections like this, and we've done it for years, there's been, you know, those opinion for that number 4 place, you know, who's number 4, who's number 5. So these arguments, this is part of college football, right?
Right. Yes.
But they have gone so far overboard with it, using no reason. And what's frustrating to me is the words they're using, the logic, which is you got to think about who you beat, not just how many losses you have. Strength of schedule means something. Yes, we've all used those words before. And, you know, but what they're doing has become just so stale and old, it's anything that benefits the Southeast Conference. And those guys, because ESPN now is the SEC network, they come across as company shills. And I think that there are, as you point out, you're losing respect for the people. You know what you get from Paul Feinbaum. You know it. Right. And the guy's a total idiot. And you know that going in. But to have Kirk Herbstreit and Sean McDonough, these guys doing the same thing, some of it I do think is corporate shills. They are pumping the Southeast Conference because that's their employer, essentially. But I think also some of it, Dustin, it's groupthink. When you start to say things enough times, and it's coming from ESPN as the original people saying it, the source, a lot of people are just falling right along on those coattails and regurgitating the same thing without doing their own homework to see what the rest of the story is.
And I think so. The quote that jarred me the most was Herbstreit saying, he actually said this on air after Ohio State blasted Tennessee, was, I hope the selection committee doesn't get caught up in what social media and fringe fans get caught up in, and that's wins. Now, Jim, I'm not very bright, but I believe since the beginning of time, since the beginning we've started doing sports, wins and losses have often determined who the best teams are. Now, I understand his point, but it wasn't like you were putting up a 10-2 Indiana against a 10-2 Alabama. Nobody, like, this Indiana didn't get the benefit of the – Indiana would never get the benefit of the doubt. Had Alabama been 10-2, they'd have been in no problem. The other thing that bugs me about this is – there's a lot of things that bug me about this. I'll try to keep my frame of mind here. If there is any team, regardless of schedule, that finishes 11-1 in the SEC, does anybody have a second thought about putting them in or whether they deserved a spot? Or whether they're one of the 12 best teams. Correct.
No.
That is correct. So why is it – it's just because it's Indiana and they're the worst program. I told you throughout the season I thought Indiana was going to be better than they were. But at the same time, when we got to that point, I'm like, I don't think Indiana's one of the 12 best, but they earned their spot. They played to Ohio State closer than Tennessee did, right? It was their only loss. They had the style points. They deserved that spot. And it makes no sense to me. And it seems weird to me, Jim. This is what I'll kind of end on and throw it back to you. It seems to me like college football is the only sport where we don't fall in love with the underdog story. Like, it has to be 12 blue bloods in the college football playoff, or otherwise somebody's infiltrating it and it's for the bet. The worst. Like, we wanted a 12-team playoff to include teams like Boise State, SMU, Indiana, to give them a chance. And all of a sudden they come crashing the party and everybody wants them out. Like, come on.
Well, and some of it, you know, I mentioned this, I made the statement that Kirk Herbstreit, with the idea of strength of schedule meaning something, they all are saying that, and that's their argument. And you know what? I believe that too. But you know what, Dustin? Apparently so does the committee. Because two-loss Tennessee, two-loss Ohio State, are ahead of Indiana. I didn't include Penn State because it was the conference championship game loss. So that gets treated a little bit different. But Indiana was already being punished somewhat for their schedule. Now, they should not have been punished and eliminated from the 12 teams. And Alabama, I would venture to say, Alabama's loss at Oklahoma late in the year, when the playoffs were definitely at stake, was a worse loss than Indiana at Notre Dame.
Oh, it was for sure a worse loss. And the other thing, the assumption, I know we're running out of time in this segment, the assumption that the Alabama that would have showed up was the Alabama that beat Georgia and not the Alabama that lost to Vanderbilt or Oklahoma is wild. Like, you can't go back in time and just say, well, this Alabama would have showed up. They could have got run off the field by Notre Dame too. They would have to play north of the Mason-Dixon line in the winter, Jim. They don't do that in the Southeast Conference.
They never do that, Dustin. All right. You know what? We're not done talking about this. I have a couple more points to make. We are going to do that, Dustin, when we come back. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Sports Illustrated Big Ten writer Dustin Schutte. We are talking about the games from last week. We'll be getting to the games coming up. And if you are attending the Fiesta Bowl out in Arizona, Penn State, Boise State, you're looking for a place to tailgate, got an answer for you. Head on out to tailgateconnect.com. They are going to be running a tailgate prior to the game. Great drinks. My understanding is they'll be serving the best margaritas in Arizona. That has me sold if I were heading out there. Go to tailgateconnect.com. It's a way to tailgate when you're on the road. Fantastic place to do it. There's going to be a huge group there, and it gets even better. One price gets you in for the drinks, the food. Use coupon code Keystone, and you'll get a discount to get in the door also. All right, Dustin, we were talking about the coverage of these four games last week, the first round. All home teams won, And instead of it being a decision on who belongs, who doesn't, and that the discussion, I think looking at the games, what stood out to me was I think the home teams and the teams earned that home field advantage. It was a huge advantage weather-wise, the crowd. If you watch Penn State SMU, my goodness, that SMU team, they were definitely affected by the crowd.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's the point, right? Like, when you set up this format, the goal was, like, they call it home field advantage for a reason. And you saw everybody kind of flex their muscle. Now, the Texas-Clemson game was interesting. That was probably the most intriguing game from just a intrigue standpoint of the weekend. But yeah, I mean, SMU, they got a lesson in what it's like to go up north and play in front of 110,000 fans. Tennessee, who thought that they were going to infiltrate Ohio Stadium, and they did have a strong crowd, but you can bring 20,000, but you're still outnumbered by about 80 or 90,000 Ohio State. So that makes a significant difference. But yeah, at Notre Dame, even just great environments all the way around. And it really just shows why you want to get one of those home field games if you can't get a first round bye in the college football playoff.
Exactly. And my reaction to it, Dustin, is I want to see more home games in the playoffs. How about having, you know, the next round being played at those home venues? How much fun would that be?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I would love to see the first two rounds, and then you just shift over to the semifinals and the finals, then be the bowl games. Now, I don't think the contracts are going to allow that, probably, with the bowl games, but that would be so much fun. And that also gives those teams that get a first round bye even more of a home field advantage, because the interesting thing about this, Jim, now, and I'm going to use our baseball reference here, I'm not convinced that in baseball now there's a first round bye for what is it, the top two teams?
There's so many teams. They change it. It feels like every year, Dustin. And we're both the avowed baseball fans, and neither one of us even knows that. I just know to turn it on when my team is on.
I think it's the top two teams in each division get a bye. Okay, so let's just under that model. That hasn't been the best. Now, football's a little bit different, but what's going to be more advantageous is it's going to be having that month off, basically, for teams like Oregon, Arizona State, Boise State, and Georgia? Or is it going to be having an advantage playing in that week and kind of kicking the rust off? So that's going to be an interesting element to this. I think if you had home field advantage, that gives those teams that get a little bit of that bye a little bit more of an advantage, but we'll see. That's one aspect of this I'm really intrigued to see. Maybe it won't matter. Maybe it will. That's part of this that I think is really interesting and intriguing.
And I know they're talking already about expanding from 12 to, I don't know why they're saying to 14. Why don't they just go to 16? And then every team plays in that first round, and the eight top teams get a home game. And some of these venues, like we already saw it, some of these places that they played last week, whether it's in State College, in Columbus, in South Bend, in Austin, Texas, absolutely great venues. But you know what? Oregon is a great venue.
Yeah.
Athens, Georgia, great venue. Could you imagine a home game on the Smurf turf in Boise State? I think that would be incredible. Now, you could argue, and I could appreciate the argument that Boise State should not have gotten the bye. I get it. I understand. But the venues are so much of what makes college football what it is. I mean, a whiteout is iconic at Penn State. That's what it's about with Penn State. It's a draw. They declare a game a whiteout, the audience automatically grows for that. It's the same thing some of these other places, you know, the Touchdown Jesus, at the Horseshoe. Those are important elements to college football, and as much as you can make it part of the games in the playoffs, I think the better. More home venues, Dustin.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of playing more games on campuses. I don't care much for the neutral site games, even early in the season, like the bowl game, the traditional bowl games. Those are obviously fun, and it's a reward for a good season. But I'd love to see two rounds of the playoff be played on home turf. It gives you even something more to play for. I think, like, you're obviously playing a lot for a lot, right? You want a first round bye, or you want home field advantage in that first round. But if you could get a bye and home field advantage in those first couple rounds, that would be even better. And it creates a more electric atmosphere. You don't see numbers going down in the NFL playoffs because they're playing home games in December in Kansas City or Seattle or New York. Well, New York hasn't hosted in a long time. Philadelphia. But my point stands. Like, it still creates an electric atmosphere in college football in terms of, like, fanfare and traditions and all that stuff is unmatched.
Well, also, Dustin, now what I wonder too is, will there be games where, I thought of Penn State as the better team than SMU. The point spread reflected that, and the game itself did. Now, it was cold, a bit windy, but it wasn't one of those 2 feet of snow, which is often the great equalizer for an underdog. Now, I'm going to tie in a couple different things. We had with Penn State the backup quarterback, Bo Prabula, hitting the transfer portal. And I'm going to tie all this together, Dustin. I will.
Okay.
And with the weather around here, weather is worse in January than it is in December, late December, worse than early December. How about starting the season a little bit earlier? Instead of week zero, have everybody play then. Instead of two bye weeks, how about just one? Maybe eliminate the playoff, the conference championship games. So everything gets moved up a couple weeks, where instead of mid-December, you're playing the first round of the playoffs. Maybe you're playing the third round of the playoffs. So maybe that those first two rounds in home venues happen at the first week of December and second week of December instead of over the New Year's holiday, where there is much more chance for colder, bad weather, snow weather, and you can still have, you know, the semifinals and finals in the bowl games around the New Year's Day, and tying in the transfer portal issue. You would then make the college football season essentially a one-semester season. It wouldn't sneak into the next semester, and players could leave after their football season and still get to their new team.
Yeah, I really like this plan, and I would take it a step further. Now, I don't know about the number of games, but I would move it back. What I would do is I would allow teams in early – maybe that first week in August to schedule an exhibition scrimmage type game against an FCS or lower FBS team. I would play, make it so every conference is playing a 10-game conference schedule, and then you play one non-conference game. Now, I don't know if my math works out, but you're playing an 11-game schedule to be bowl eligible. Now, this is a novel idea, Jim. You'd have to be one game over 500, 6-5.
Crazy talk, Dustin. Crazy talk,
right? But then, and I agree with you, I don't know if eliminating the conference championship is, I don't know if you, it would depend on how it would work out. I'm sure there would be some finagling there, but I'm not opposed to eliminating the conference championship because I don't know how much they matter anymore. I mean, I know you get the bye, you can get a bye and you can solidify your spot in the playoff, but we just saw SMU lose in that and get a spot, right? So, but and Tennessee didn't play in it and got a spot. Same with Ohio State. So there's a lot of different interesting dynamics to it, but I am not opposed to that idea at all. I like that idea. That helps with the transfer portal in this specific Penn State situation with Bro Pabula, as you just mentioned.
Well, also, Dustin, the conference championship game, the argument for it is always the money that can be made. And we now have a Big Four set up in college football, okay, and then the group of five. But if you eliminate those conference championship games but add in four games to the playoffs, so instead of 12 teams make it 16 teams, which would now add four games to the playoffs, the money comes out essentially as a wash, I would think, if not better, because they're playoff games, which I think would be even more lucrative than conference championship games.
No, I agree with that. I think that they would be more interesting. You include four more fan bases. And so I think that that would be easily a benefit. So yeah, I agree with you. I've never been a huge fan of conference championship games, but at the same time, the leagues are now so big that it's almost become essential. So I don't know what they'll do, but I would, to your original point, I am completely in favor of moving the schedule back and starting it earlier in August. I know it's hot, but if it helps out in terms of the calendar, especially with the transfer portal and getting the season done earlier, I'm in favor of it.
All right, that is it for quarter number two. We'll pick up the conversation when we come back. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pregame meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Dustin. I'm Jim. We are talking college football. We're talking the playoffs, how that's all going. Before we go further, though, Dustin, I want to go way, way off topic here, because last week you were out and about. You attended the women's volleyball Final Four in Louisville, didn't you?
I did, yes.
So you got to see our Lady Lions win a national championship.
Yep, I was there. They played extremely well. It was a lot of fun. That was my first college volleyball experience. And let me tell you, it's even better in person than it is on TV. Like, there's a lot of athleticism. There's a lot of talent. It was a lot of fun. And Louisville, as a bourbon drinker, is one of my favorite cities. They got a lot of great food. So that just added to the experience. But yes, it was really fun, and a lot of congratulations in order for Penn State and the volleyball team. What a great season they had.
And it was a great, Nebraska was there, wonderful volleyball program. Louisville was there hosting the tournament, so they brought a huge crowd. I think they said it was attendance over 20,000 for this event.
Yes, it was the most attended volleyball semifinal and national championship, I think, in history. And I think it was over 21,000 is what the KFC Yum Center holds. So that was really cool. I'd be interested to see what the viewership numbers were like. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. And you know what? Give credit to Penn State too, because they were outnumbered by both the Nebraska fans and then on Sunday, the Louisville fans. So it was probably, they were in the minority. There was a lot more going on there. Obviously, it's a probably a longer trip from Pennsylvania than it is from Nebraska or from obviously Louisville. But they had to basically play two road games to win a national title, and they got it done.
And there was another event going on last week in State College, which had, I think, the attention of a lot of Penn State fans. But Penn State does have a great athletic program throughout. Several of the women's sports are really good, volleyball being one of them. They've got a great history. And yes, you asked about what the television numbers. I think they had my attention. I watched it. It was exciting. It was fun. It was just a great atmosphere, which makes it a lot of fun. All right, let's get back to the college football. And Dustin, I asked this question of most everybody last week. Not sure if I asked you, but I said, did they get it right with this 12-team playoff? Not so much the right teams, but just the concept of the 12 teams, home games this first round. Now that we got through those first games, we still had the criticism of some of the teams that made it in. I'll ask again, was this a success?
Well, I'm still in wait-and-see mode. And I think the reason is because I don't know what the advantage is or who has the advantage in the bye versus playing a game. So if we see all – now, this is obviously year one, so it's going to be really hard to tell. We're going to have a very limited sample size. But let's pretend that all four teams that got a bye lose. Does that mean that getting a bye is actually an advantage? Or is there too much time between games? You're spending the first quarter, maybe two quarters, kicking off the rust, whereas the other teams have been they had a game in between that time, and they're a little bit, you know, for lack of a better term, they're a little looser, playing a little bit more confident as opposed to, you know, coming out and tighten up with the butterflies and all that. So it'll be interesting. I've been a fan of the expanded 12-team field. I maybe would say if we have some issues with like the bye teams not performing well, I would say maybe expand to 16. I don't know. I think that this has been mostly a success. And let me just say this too. I have said this for years. When they expand the playoff, you can't expect that the 12-ranked team is going to go in and immediately do something big, or the 11th or 10th seeded teams are immediately going to go in and win a national championship. It took how many years for a number 16 seed to beat a number one seed in the NCAA tournament? Like, this takes years to create this level of parity where we're going to get these kind of upsets regularly, and where you feel like maybe, hey, you know what? Texas snuck in as a 5 seed, or Notre Dame got in as a 7 seed, but we think they can legitimately win it all. And maybe Notre Dame can, I don't know, but that stuff is going to take time. So, well, but just getting in creates the parity that I think we all wanted.
Well, a couple things on this, Dustin, is if the teams that play and are the lower seeded teams now playing the teams with byes, first of all, we have that issue with Boise State and Arizona State. Two of the teams that are getting byes are actually double-digit underdogs. So that's going to play a part in it. We also have a situation where Ohio State, the lower-seeded team, who actually lost to Oregon in the regular season, Ohio State is favored in their game with Oregon. The only game where the team that got the bye is even favored is Georgia, and that's the smallest margin. They're only a 1.5 favorite over Notre Dame.
And the other aspect of that too, Jim, is Carson Beck, I believe, is out. Their starting quarterback is out. So that's going to be a huge factor too. So there are a lot of different factors in that. And that's why I say it's really hard to judge after a one-game sample or a one-year sample size, excuse me, whether or not this is the right format. I just don't think everybody likes to have that knee-jerk reaction and go up in arms over something. And it's like, this is the first year of the 12-team playoff. And by the way, do you know, I did not do the numbers on this. I ran the numbers maybe in 2021. But like the average margin of victory in the four-team semifinals was like 3 touchdowns. So just because you have poor results, like we got 4 results when it was a 4-team field. So save me that they should never have expanded it. Like, how much more exciting was the football in November because they did expand it? How many more meaningful games did we get to watch? So, yes, maybe some of those teams – I don't think anybody went in thinking Indiana was going to win a national championship. Nobody thought SMU would win a national championship. Maybe they could win a game. Maybe they could pull an upset. But the amount of interest we had in that Indiana-Ohio State game, the amount of interest we had in the ACC championship game between Clemson and SMU, which in any other season – would have eliminated, like those two teams would have both been eliminated from the college football playoff. I think just by creating a 12-team bracket and more interesting games in October and November, this has been a victory for college football.
I'll add on to that, Dustin. This first week of games, yes, the home teams won by a lot. They weren't really close games, but I could probably tell you there's 106,000 people who showed up in State College, PA, who will say that was worth it, having that first round. They don't mind, okay? And I don't know what the capacity is in South Bend, but whatever it is, I'm guessing that number of people had a good old time on Friday night and enjoyed that experience. And I haven't seen the television ratings, but I imagine they were pretty good also. So I think instead of just looking at it in terms of, gee, SMU, there's no chance in the world they would win this 12-team tournament. So what? We still got this great first-week experience, Dustin. Isn't that worth something? Not to mention the dollars and cents it's worth, but I think the experience.
I think so, too. And I think a lot of the excitement around – so there's a lot of buildup to this, too. You created a lot of excitement, a lot of – we talked about so many different matchups of, like, if this happens, maybe Indiana can win. Or if this happens, this is how SMU can expose Penn State. And that's part of the fun in college football. It's the same to me as, like, college – like, all you want is to get into the NCAA tournament. And then you have a chance. And – again, nobody thinks a 14-seeded Yale is going to win it all. But they upset Auburn last year in that first round, and boy, was that exciting. And so you get all these memories, you get all this buildup and excitement, and it's just so – what I think a lot of the problem is it's a lot of these people whose team did not get in that are just like, oh, I could have done something else with my Saturday. Go do something else with your Saturday. Nobody cares what you think. If you don't like college football, then don't watch it. So – like it's to me, it was, yes, the games weren't the most exciting, but it's that anticipation. And it's just watching the game, seeing those atmospheres. And I promise you, if we stick with just a 12-team field in the next 5 to 6 years, these games are going to get more interesting because the transfer portal, NIL, it's going to level the playing field in some capacity where a team like an Indiana or an SMU can actually have a chance in these games.
And again, I'll point out, I know there's 106,000 people who had a really good time, even though it wasn't the competitive game. But I also think, Dustin, and I'm a firm believer in this in any sport, you need to learn how to win. And you need how to learn how to win at every level. SMU, the next time they go in, and I suspect they'll be in again in the next couple of years, they will do better than they did this first time. This, they had to experience what it was like to play at that level with that kind of crowd. I mean, my understanding, SMU's home field is what, 32,000 people?
Right, something like
that.
They
were playing in front of 106,000 here, Dustin. That's a different animal completely.
Well, I remember Urban Meyer has told this story about when he was the coach at Ohio State his first year. They went undefeated, would have won the Big Ten, but they were not bowl eligible because they were dealing with the Jim Tressel and Tattoo Gate and all that stuff. And he went to the national championship game as a part of a broadcast team and saw Alabama. And he's like, we got to get a whole hell of a lot better in a hurry if we're going to compete for a national championship. That's what teams like SMU, Clemson already knows it. Clemson has been there. But that's what teams like SMU and Indiana are learning in these types of situations. Like this was a bit, I think you're right. Now the coaches know what they're up against in these type of situations. Now it's probably a little bit easier for IU playing in the Big Ten. But to your point, yes, they're learning to win. And now the coaching staff and the players know what it's going to take to get to that next level.
And you could throw Tennessee right into that also. Yeah. They haven't been in that environment. They haven't played in cold weather before. Perhaps they learned. All right, Dustin, that's it for quarter three. One more quarter to go. Stick with us. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pregame meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter four. He's Dustin. I'm Jim. We've been talking about the college football playoffs. I want to look ahead to these upcoming games, Dustin. But before we do, we were talking about just the experience itself and what it could mean to those teams who made it into the playoffs, like SMU, Tennessee, Indiana, got eliminated in the first round. But the experience and learning. And another part of this that I think is relevant to the popularity of college football, we had 10 years of the 4-team playoff, okay? And I'm showing it with my hands. I'm showing 10 fingers and four, you know, four teams over 10 years. There were 40 slots, Dustin, okay? 40 slots over those 10 years. Do you know how many total teams played in that in those 10 years?
Oh boy. I would waste all of our time counting because I'm such a nerd with this stuff. I'm not going to. My guess is going to be 11.
No, think about it. It was 15 because you had a couple of those one-off teams like Michigan State and Cincinnati and TCU and Washington, and those handful of teams that I mentioned. Well, Washington was more than once, but early on they got blown out. But in 10 years, there were a total of 15 teams represented, 15 schools. Now I'll give you the easy question. In the first year, Dustin, of the 12-team playoff, how many schools were represented?
12.
There you go. All right. It was my understanding that
no math.
12 teams got in the first year, of course, when it took 10 years to get to 15 teams. Dustin, doesn't that have to be good for the game itself?
Yes, it does. Because again, you're probably not going to, now I don't know, but you're not, it's not like you're going to see these same 12 teams. Arizona State, that the Big 12 was a jumbled mess and it was so much fun. Indiana got the benefit of a really beneficial schedule. Like Boise State had a great year. You're going to see a different group of five team in there, maybe not every year, but pretty frequently, right? Notre Dame and Independent. Like you are just going to see probably 3 to 4 new teams in there every year. So it's just going to, and again, that's how you level the playing field, is when more teams have more opportunities to get in. It's going to be more attractive. It helps with recruiting. It helps with the transfer portal. It helps with a lot of different things. So, again, that's a huge positive. There's no team that would have benefited from a 12-team playoff more than Penn State, if my numbers were still correct, during that 4-team playoff. So, and they took advantage. It's like, look, we could have made some noise if we were in this thing. Now, we'll see what happens against Boise State. But all in all, really beneficial. And, I think people that are anti-12-team playoff because of the results are not looking past the end of their nose.
I agree. And if you take the four teams that won last weekend and the experience that their fan base had, I was at Beaver Stadium. I was there for tailgating prior in that really cold weather, Dustin. Guess what? Did not diminish things at all. I saw the game Friday night at Notre Dame. I hate everything to do with Notre Dame, okay? I do. Sure. I root against them no matter who they play. With that said, their fan base was fantastic. They were great. They made that an environment, a fun environment. They made it a fun watch on TV. So no matter what, Notre Dame had that experience. Penn State had that experience. Texas and Ohio State, talk about, you know, the comeback story. We didn't know what we were going to see from Ohio State. And once more, Dustin, I hate anything to do with Ohio State. But boy, were they impressive. That first quarter of football was as good a quarter of football I think I've seen all season from a college football team.
Yeah, I mean, they've been subject to slow starts this season. So for them to get off to a hot start, they played aggressive, Jim. What do we talk about? They played
aggressive. How about it?
They threw the ball down the field, and that really opened things up for them offensively. So, yeah, that was it was a lot of fun. And yeah, I don't know. I also have to admit that I just, after everything from last week and everything leading up to the playoff, the fact that we just saw Ohio State pummel an SEC team from the mighty SEC, and I know that Penn State people probably would have liked to see the other way around, but at the same time, it was just nice to see the Big Ten beat up on the SEC a little bit.
I talked to several people about that, people who – like me, would just never root for Ohio State. It's, and you've had every year Ohio State play Michigan, and Penn State fans still want to find a way for both teams to lose, okay? Penn State fans were rooting for Ohio State. They were, because of that whole SEC narrative. I think it's the first time Penn State fans actually were like, you know what, we'll root for our Big Ten brothers. And my point to all that, Dustin, is what is the value of that experience itself for the fan bases for those teams? So I think that alone was well worth it and made that first week enjoyable. But now I want to get your take on these games that are coming up. Here's what we got. Penn State, double-digit favorite over Boise State. Texas, a big favorite over Arizona State. Ohio State playing Oregon, a 2.5-point spread, and Georgia, a 1.5-point favorite over Notre Dame. Which of those games intrigues you?
They all intrigue me. I think the most intriguing, though, is Notre Dame-Georgia, especially with Carson Beck, Georgia's starting quarterback, out. I think Notre Dame can win that game. I think people will point to that Northern Illinois game. That was an aberration. I don't know what happened, but they just didn't play their brand of football, because Notre Dame has looked squeaky clean basically from the Texas A&M game, that was the first game of the season. But since that Northern Illinois loss, they have played phenomenal. I think they're going to beat Georgia. I'm just going to make that bold prediction right now. And then who doesn't love the rematch between Ohio State and Oregon, especially the way Ryan Day, it looks like if Ryan Day, there's been a lot of rumors about him potentially losing his job. Again, I think that's crazy talk, whatever. He's going to go out swinging. I think he realizes, like, hey, we've got to play aggressive. We've got all these receivers. We've got a talented quarterback. We need to use our guys. And we saw that against Tennessee in front of a home crowd. Now it's time to do it against Oregon. And you know what they say, hard to beat a good team twice, Jim. And that makes this crazy, though. The funny thing is we got two Big Ten teams in the Rose Bowl. This is Big Ten Pac-12 matchup.
It is. It's a great matchup. And, you know, Penn State saw both those teams. They're both really good teams when they're playing at their best. And I hope we see that. I hope both teams bring their A game. That will be interesting. And you're right. The Georgia-Notre Dame game is fascinating. The other two, with Penn State, Boise State, and Texas, Arizona State, what's fascinating about both those underdog teams, Boise State and Arizona State, they both have that stud running back.
Yeah.
You know, so could they turn this game, their game, into that okay, it's about Ashton Jeanty, and that's it. Or it's about Scadaboo, and that's it. Could those players carry their team to an upset or at least make it a competitive game?
I think Arizona State can do that. This is tough, Jim. Texas has been good. 12-2. They were 11-2 getting through the SEC. Only losses were to Georgia. But they kind of have that like Indiana feel to me. Like they didn't have really a signature win until they beat Clemson. So Texas A&M was a good team. So that's a good win. I just think that Arizona State is going to give them a game. I think Kenny Dillingham has done a phenomenal job. I think they're outmatched, but it's just like one of those. This is, I think, the underdog that everybody's rooting for. I think that's an easy team to like. I don't know. I like Arizona State. I don't know that they're going to win, but I think that they can match up pretty well with Texas. To me, Penn State, Boise State, the only time they've seen lines like what you see with Penn State is against Oregon. Now, they held up well, but that was week two when Oregon was still figuring some things out. I think as long as Penn State contains Giante and doesn't give up the big play or a couple big plays, I think they're going to be just fine. I don't know that it's going to look the same as it did against SMU, but maybe similar in the sense of it's one of those 2-3 score games where Penn State never really runs away with it, but you feel pretty comfortable. I just think Penn State's too dominant at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. And how about that Tom Allen defense on Saturday against SMU? And then I think we're going to see more of that. If you put Boise State into passing situations, if Penn State sets the tone early, that defense is playing with a lot of confidence right now.
By the way, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but Dom DeLuca, who had the pick six and then had the second interception, did you know he was a walk-on?
I don't know if I did know that.
Yeah. He was a walk-on, very good high school player. And what's fascinating, too, is if you saw Tony Rojas with his interception return, it wasn't just he picked it off, easy touchdown. He made several moves, broke a few tackles. He was a big star running back in high school. Now, I know that's not unusual. A lot of players play both ways in high school, but he was a monster running back in high school, and he showed it.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Well, it's fascinating. Dustin, we started the show with the ESPN, that group, the group think, really just seemed to be looking for something to complain about. The fact is, my bottom line to all this is I love college football and I'm getting more meaningful games. To me, that's the bottom line.
Yeah. And again, I go back to the fact that even if the first round games are not fun, you had three additional weeks where so many more games mattered, dozens more games mattered with playoff implications, with teams playing spoiler, teams trying to get into bowl eligibility. Like it meant so much more. So that part was worth it.
And it was a lot of fun. All right, Dustin, thank you. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should a team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.